Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is March 4th, 2024. It is Monday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Weed Witch's Journal. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Live the life of your dreams. Be brave enough to live the life of your dreams according to your vision and purpose instead of the expectations and opinions of others." Roy T. Bennett, The Light in the Heart. And I will say this is something that I have thought about a lot, especially within the past, I want to say, 2 years. So this is something I've really experienced within the past 2 years. A friend of mine became very, very successful within her creative world, and watching her kind of go from, you know, creating for a niche audience to creating for the world, of course, I got really excited and I would want to go see what people are saying. I wanted to see how much they loved her work and see how much they loved what she was doing. And the amount of criticism over someone who is arguably doing really great, who is clearly a good writer, who is clearly doing well, who is a bestseller, who's doing all these great things, and to see still so much criticism, to see still that some people didn't feel like it was enough, good enough. They would still be like, well, terrible writer. I mean, even though objectively you have to admit that they're probably a good writer if they're doing this well. And it really taught me a lesson that I'm really, really grateful I didn't have to learn personally. And that lesson is, you will never be enough for everybody. You just won't. And I think chasing that is just going to lead to burnout and misery. So you have to get to a point where you create, especially in creative spheres, you have to create for you. And you have to do all these things to feed your own soul. Because if you're doing it to feed other people's soul, you're just always going to be hungry, you know? I really jive with that quote. But I do want to say we are doing a live show. So this is a live show right now with our Patreon family. So if I ask them to comment or get their opinions on something, you'll know what I'm talking about. All right. So we're talking about flower lore, probably for the next month or two, because, you know, I'm really trying to shake things up. I don't want to keep going over the same tea herbs over and over and over again. We've been doing this for like 3 years now, and I wanted to change stuff up because it's not just herbs or tea herbs and flowers and spices that is used within spell work. But there's a lot of symbolism, especially in regards to flowers. So I wanted to focus a little bit on flowers for a while. And especially as I'm kind of in like a flower moment, I'm really, really into getting bouquets. So I had a friend who would do this. She would go to the grocery, buy a bouquet or two, and kind of create little arrangements for us. And it was just really sweet. So I'm kind of like in that moment right now. And it's really feeds the spirit of your home. And it really is just a very loving energy. So I'm really in this kind of flower moment right now. And one of the flowers that is in season, especially within New Orleans, is the tulip. So we're talking about tulips. We're going to talk about tulips this week, the history, the magical properties, health benefits, if any, and lore. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the history of tulips. So this is from europeana.eu, how the tulip became a symbol of Turkey and the Netherlands. So in springtime, tulips are one of nature's loveliest sights, returning each year in a variety of bright colors. Tulips are a simple but significant flower in European culture, with a rich history that dates back centuries. Their history has brought them from Central Asia to the Ottoman Empire and then to Western Europe, becoming a symbol of all three along the way. Tulips originated in Central Asia and were first cultivated in Iran as early as the 10th century. Many historical sources have evidence of how tulips came to Europe over the centuries, and by the 16th century, tulips were being cultivated in the Ottoman Empire. They were among the most prized flowers for the Ottoman Empire and became a symbol for their power. Ottoman sultans and wealthy elites were known for their love of tulips. They held tulip festivals, which were attended by people from all over the world, and this fascination with tulips inspired a unique decorative style, which features motifs of tulips on carpets, clothing, paintings, buildings, and pottery. Nobody knows for sure who brought tulips from the Ottoman Empire to Western Europe, but it is credited to an ambassador of the Habsburg Empire in Constantinople who brought tulips to Vienna. So botanist Clusius increased the popularity of tulips in the late 16th century, and he planted tulip bulbs at the Vienna Imperial Botanical Gardens in 1573 and made the first botanical research into tulips in 1592. And of course, there's these beautiful botanical drawings of tulips. Ugh, absolutely gorgeous. Tulips then reached the Netherlands, and that is where they just burst into popularity. The Dutch became so enamored with tulips that in the 17th century, their passion for the flower sparked a phenomena known as tulip mania. During this time, tulip bulbs became incredibly valuable and were traded like stocks on the Amsterdam Stock Exchange. At the height of tulip mania, some rare tulip bulbs were worth more than a house. And you can find some absolutely gorgeous artworks of tulips, especially from the 17th century, including a lot of paintings, again, pottery, and things like that. So the association of tulips with the Netherlands was cemented in the 1950s with the song Tulips from Amsterdam, originally sung in German, soon Dutch, and then English. It became a hit for the English singer Max Bygraves in 1958, as well as for many singers around the world. And today, the Netherlands is the largest producer of tulips in the world, and the flower is a part of the country's economy. Tulips have become one of the most popular symbols of the Netherlands, which, how cool. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from Gizmodo.com. Tarot's trailer is here to remind you to stick to Candyland, kids. Sony's Horror Tale joins a long line of movies themed around spooky games that go very, very wrong for their players. Now, do I even have to say that this is like horrifically cliche, right? We saw this with the Ouija board and just witches in general. But, you know, sometimes in writing, it's just easier to use something people might not know a lot about as a medium for terror. And I guess we're doing it with tarot. I'm not sure how I feel about this. Should I feel weird about it? Should I not like this? I kind of feel like I don't like this. It kind of just feels like, again, another... It feels like we're just taking something that is meaningful to a group of people and exploiting it for lazy writing within movies to create horror. But who am I? Okay, let's see what this movie's about. They say, beware of sinister party games pilfered from dusty hiding places by smirking teens who couldn't be less concerned about following the rules that might protect them. Many a horror movie have launched with the premise, and Tarot, which dropped the first trailer today, is the latest. So Tarot joins recent films like Talk to Me, Ouija Origin, and Hulu's Into the Dark in spotlighting exactly why bored youth should steer clear of otherworldly dabbling. Oh my god, aren't we just like a little past this? Okay, here's the premise. The trailer definitely sets the scene without any confusion, but here's the plot description. When a group of friends recklessly violates the sacred rule of tarot readings, ugh, never use someone else's deck, ugh, They unknowingly unleash an unspeakable evil trapped within the cursed cards. One by one, they come face to face with fate and end up in a race against death to escape the fortune foretold in their readings. All right. All right, witches. I'm just, you know what? I'm out. I'm just going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, March 4th. The waning crescent moon moves from buoyant Sagittarius to hard-hitting Capricorn today. Here, the moon squares Neptune. The square to Neptune can obscure something that we're trying to achieve. As the moon moves into Cap, we're likely setting our sights on something that we'd like to get done, but that darn Neptune is not letting us see the path forward. The best way is through. While Neptune does have a habit of misdirection, it responds well to the use of imagination or intuition. Instead of trying to bulldoze your way to your goal, relax your focus. Allow things to start to come to you. If you let go, just a little bit, you'll see things start to turn your own way. Your daily moon mantra is, instead of worrying about what you cannot control, shift your energy to what you can create. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Interested in taking your weed witchery to the next level or wanting to get started? The Weed Witch's Journal by author Carrie Connor blends the worlds of cannabis and magic together to help you document, explore, and expand your daily practices. Dig deeper into yourself with intuitive insights, mystical visions, shadow work, or connect to nature for starters. Want to explore your creativity? Dive in with My Vibe, Inspirational Ink, and the Flower Power activities. Looking to practice your skills? Get attuned with pendulum work and one card reading. Plus, document your practices with full moon, new moon, spell tracker, ritual tracker, and more. Order the Weed Witch's Journal now from your favorite bookshop or wherever books are sold.
All right, we are back. So during the break, I was chatting to our lovely Patreon fam, and I did do a little bit more looking into this tarot movie because I was like, is this going to be like an A movie or is this going to be like a B movie? And it looks like it's going to be a B movie. Like, I'm not worried about it. I just looked at like the names on it. It's fine. We're going to be okay. This isn't going to make or break anything for us. So we're good. Okay, so let's dig into our topic for today. This is actually from one of our Patreon family members, Portia. Portia says, I'm interested in learning about banishing spells and how to do them properly. Oof, what a topic. I mean, there's whole books on this, right? So of course we can only touch into it kind of lightly, but I hope we give some justice here. So according to groundwork.art, banishment is the ritual action of getting rid of something unwanted. Now, when I think of banishing, my first instinct is like, oh, we need to get this person out of our life. You know, that is my first instinct. Now, people will say this in terms of a bunch of different kinds of magic, love magic, getting what you want magic. They'll always say, like, be careful what you wish for. Make sure you've thought it through. Make sure da 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 da. I literally believe that no harder than I do for for banishing spells. When you do banishing spells, you need to make sure you have thought this through. And you need to make sure that you are willing to maybe lose things that are important to you. So let me give you some examples of times I have done banishing spells in my lifetime. So there was one time I had a co-worker long, long, long time ago who was really, really kind of horrendous. She would just lie a lot, and she would tell people I was doing my job wrong when I wasn't. She would give me bad advice of how to do my job and then tell other people she told me to do it the right way. But in reality, she had told me the wrong way. I would hear her gossiping about me to like people who I thought were like my friends. I'll never forget, like, I'm literally hearing these people gossiping about me, and they walk out of their little office as if there's no big deal. And I was just like, I can hear everything you're saying. Like, you're not being very nice. And I was like really, really young. I was like in my early 20s. It was like my first kind of big job. And I had this person who was like much older than me in her 50s, who had always been really nice to me, all of a sudden was being really, really horrendous. And me and another coworker finally caught on when we saw an email she had sent. Full of lies. Like, oh, I told her to do it this way. And I remember thinking, no, she didn't. And it really made my life like a living hell. I would go home and cry. And I was a baby and I was being bullied like in my workplace. And it was really hard. And I remember I just couldn't take it anymore. I did a spell and I was like, I just want this person out of my life. I just don't want them in my life anymore. And through legitimate means, it was discovered that she hadn't been doing her own work for a few years and she was let go. And so that's like a story of it being successful. But here is what I talk about when I mean that, like, you have to really, really, really be willing to face the consequences. Because, for example, she left the company because it was discovered a bunch of stuff she was doing was discovered. So she was removed. But if I had done that spell and like maybe I was the one who wasn't doing things correctly, who had, you know, all this stuff I wasn't doing, it could have been me who lost my job, right? And that's what I mean when I say you have to really be okay with like whatever consequences that come. So for example, I had one that kind of went bad. I had a friend who was post-divorce and she was not in a good place. She was making a lot of really, really poor decisions, ones that included her getting scammed. And then she was dating this guy who was, it was a really inappropriate age gap. And he was not very nice and he was mean and he was inappropriate. And I just really didn't like him. And I did a banishing spell. I just wanted him out of my life. But here's the thing is that she went with him, you know? He left my life, but so did she. And I had to be okay with that. And I was, because I just didn't need this in my life. So when I talk about, when people talk about consequences and being sure of what you want, it's banishing that I always think about, because yes, something can be banished from your life, but there might be other things that go with it that you might love or want or need. So you got to really, really think it through. Michelle says, hex and heal in equal measure. That's my motto. Sometimes a good banishing is needed. And as always, baneful work should be justified. I agree. So what is banishing? So we kind of touched on it, that it is a ritual form of removing something unwanted, right? This could be unwanted energy. You could believe you've been hexed. This could be a person. It could be a bunch of things. So let's say you're really considering wanting to do some sort of banishment spell, but you're like, is this really justified? Is this really something I should do? Do I even want to waste my energy on this? I feel like I'm in good alignment with the universe. Should I just let the universe take care of it, which is sometimes the boat I take? So here are some things to think about. And this is from SydneyEileen.com. If you're thinking about doing a spell specifically focused on banishing, it is critical to have conviction about your course of action. If you have reservations, especially if you have significant ones, the spell work is likely to fall flat, making it wasted efforts and energy. When you feel yourself feeling like banishing might be a good idea, but are not really sure it's really what you want to do, try this exercise. Grab a piece of paper or open a blank document in your word processor. Label the top, banishing X, where of course X is the subject you want to banish. Draw two vertical lines down the page, creating three columns. Column 1, benefits. Column 2, neutral changes. Column 3, drawbacks. And go ahead and start filling things in. Don't think about it too hard. Kind of let yourself free flow and write down as many things as you can think of into each column. And that'll give you a really good idea of how to analyze the impact and to help you decide whether or not you want to go through with it. Now, one of my classic forms of banishing is a freezer spell. This is a classic folk magic technique. You actually see it across multiple cultures, but I do believe it is popular within Santeria, as well as hoodoo, I believe. I personally learned it from a friend of mine's mother who was Cuban, and that was my first introduction to it. And in my opinion, again, it is one of the absolutely most efficient and effective spells I've ever done. I think it works all the time. But again, you have to really think through those consequences. What also may you might lose in the process, right? So a classic freezer spell, my favorite version of it is to take a lemon, cut that lemon open, write down the name of the thing or person you want to remove from your life, insert it into the lemon. You can add any other herbs, spices, or anything else that relates to the intention or the goal. Sew it up and put it in your freezer. This is going to freeze the person out and kind of remove them from your life. I've never had it not work. And my friend's mom would actually just use it on my friend's ex-boyfriends, which mom love, you know, what can you do? Let's see. Cassidy says, anytime I've considered banishing, there's always someone we're both tied to who I'm not willing to lose. My nephew's mother sucks, but I would hate to lose him from my life. Cassidy, that is an absolute perfect way or a perfect example of kind of what I'm talking about. So thank you so much for sharing. Exactly. You have to be willing to lose that in between. Right. And so anytime I've done a freezer spell, I thought, okay, what could I lose from this? And am I willing to lose it? And that answer has to be yes. You know? All right. So let's say you don't want to do a freezer spell, but you want to do maybe more of a ritual. This comes to us from saltyworld.net, and it is a banishing spell, more specifically for exes, but like I'm sure you can adjust it to whatever works for you. So yes, from saltyworld.net, you need a fireproof bowl, a slip of paper, matches, cleansing herbs, tin, one white candle, and then you can use sweetgrass, frankincense, optional. So a banishment spell is an act of removing something, like we talked about. So we don't perform these spells to hurt other people, right? Like when I'm talking about the freezer spell, it was meant to remove this person from my life. It's about me and my needs. It's not about, I want this person to suffer. I want this person to have bad things happen to them. Now, the person in my life who was removed from their workplace, that was something that was always going to happen because they weren't doing their job and hadn't for years. And the person who was hiding it left the company. So that was always going to be found out eventually. You know what I mean? So my spell did not do that. What my spell did was remove this person from my life. So you can't have the intention of causing pain or harm because that just will never work out in your favor. I know it's cliche, but it's true. Now, how to do this ritual. Open all your windows and turn on any fans that you have in your house. This will direct negative energy out of your house, allowing positive energy to reclaim the space. Light your cleansing herb enough to allow the embers to smolder and then immediately blow out the flame. But you want to make sure there's a good smoke happening. Consider saying an affirmation for cleansing. It doesn't have to be complicated. Something like, I purge myself in this home of negativity. May only love and light enter. Waving your smoke clockwise, walk around your house, making sure that the smoke drifts along the ceilings and into every crevice and corner, starting from your front door is best. Concentrate on busy areas as they tend to accumulate more energy. I completely agree. And as you watch the smoke dissipate out the windows, imagine negative energy leaving. Once you have cleansed all the areas of your home, come back to where you started and gently extinguish the herbs in your bowl. We don't want any witch failures, flammable failures. We don't want any of that. And imagine that your entire home is filled with light and has been raised to a higher vibrational energy. Now, gather your pen and your slip of paper. Sit quietly for a few minutes and focus on the thing you are banishing. After reflection is done, make sure you have no reservations. Write that thing on the slip of paper. Light the paper on fire and toss it into the bowl with your cleansing herb. And as it burns, visualize the target leaving your life and then focus all your attention on what your life will be after the banishment takes effect. Once the paper is finished burning, dispose of the ashes as soon as possible. You can scatter them in the wind, bury them in the ground, or simply dispose them in a trash bin away from your home. And it's a perfect time to maybe get out of the house, take a walk, clear your mind, things like that. So again, this is from saltyworld.net. I will have a link on the link tree if you want to check it out. Now, I do feel like I need to give a little PSA here. We have to remember everyone's religious beliefs are different. Everyone's ethical beliefs are different. If you do not jive with this topic, that's okay. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you, and it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with me, okay? We can have different spiritual beliefs, different magical beliefs, and different ethical beliefs without hating each other. So I just want to get that out of the way. All right. So let's see what else we have. Actually, that's all we've got for today. So we're going to wrap up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Lilith. Lilith, you formidable, dapper starfish. Lori Sanderson, you splendid, insidious garden nymph. Josephine, you spiffy, graceful dragon. And Lauren Wilson, you formidable, magical oracle. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And before we leave today, we do have a card pull. Our card is Triggered from the Roast Iconic Oracle. You've ignored your wounds and issues for too long. Time to seek help or support before you continue the cycle of pain and shame by projecting it onto others. Love that for a banishing episode. All right, witches. Don't forget any books, decks, headline sources. Anything we reference today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye.
Witches. We hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.